Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And any little ones that would like to go to Children's Church, you are dismissed to go now to Children's Church. Each year, or almost each year, I see this battery's getting really low, but we try to invite our Gideon rep here to give you a little update. So this morning, for a few minutes, we're going to hear... I think he can get through once. I guess if it runs dead, he'll know it's time to... Come on up here, brother. Start talking before the battery's dead. Make welcome Dan Posner.
Well, hi, and thank you, worship team. You know, in Zephaniah 3:17, it says, God will be rejoicing and thinking over us. What a wonderful feeling that is, that God is going to be singing with us, huh? Isn't that great? Okay, but good morning. I'm Dan Posner. Just a little bit about me. I'm your local Gideon. I live in the area on the Crow Wing River. I like fishing. I have retired after 20 years as a baker at Camp Chaminade. And I have five boys. My wife and I have boys, five boys. I have to include her. She's wonderful. That went through the Motley school system. But that's enough about me. The mission of the Gideon is to put the Bible in the hands of as many people as we possibly can, so that through God's word they can accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We want to give Bibles away free. And it's a joy. It's a joy for all of us Gideons to do so. At the end of this presentation, I'll be in the back and give Bibles to you, for you, for yourself, or anyone you think might want a Bible. I also have large print New Testament Bibles for those who are getting older, with older eyes like me. And then I have the Life Book, which is a little easier maybe for the younger folks, for the youth to read. Very, very good book. This one is on, this particular one's on John. And of course we have the Holy Bible, which is God's word. Oh, we also have memory cards. I didn't mention this before, but we have memory cards here. If you have a loved one dies and sometimes you don't know what to give, you can give Bibles to the Gideons. And you can help the Gideons by prayer. And, you know, there's no substitute for prayer, right? Financial support is always encouraged. I'll have a basket in the back. But you don't need to give anything to have free Bibles, okay? Don't even think that. So the Gideons want to encourage many people to read the Bible, to know God, and develop a relationship with our God. You know, we've seen many, many people change for love, joy, and peace by reading God's word. I receive the Gideon magazine each month, and it's just filled with stories of people that came to the Lord through reading the Bible. When I was younger, I did not believe everything in the Bible. I think a few of you are with me on that. But as I grow older, I find it hard not to believe. Now I want to read a few statements by a few famous men about the Bible. Okay, Isaac Newton. There are more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than any in profane history. Abraham Lincoln says, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. There's a German philosopher, Immanuel Kant, said that the Bible is the greatest benefit which the human race has ever experienced. Amen. Then other leaders say, too, the Bible answers our questions about God and answers our deepest questions and even about ourselves. We will do God's will. You know the Bible is true and will delight in the word. As you seek the Bible as silver as a hidden treasure. Read it. And I'd like to give a short story of how a Gideon Bible was passed to Jesus. Charlie's sister, Pat, had an artery to her heart collapse and just too many complications to count. Now, this is real. The surgeon said the situation was bleak to hopeless. Charlie went to the ICU waiting room and found a Gideon Bible. He read Ephesians to her. From that point, she began to move in a positive direction. Stories go on and on, but she did receive Jesus as her Savior. So God loves us. And lastly, a closing message. The Bible throughout wants us to have a relationship with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, and a joyful relation with each other. With each other. To invite others to come also. Show your love. Be a good example. Reading the Bible will help us get there. Now, I thank you so much for having this time to share with you, and I will be praying for the church, this organization. And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
There are Bibles back here, right, Dan, and in the foyer, and there's a basket there if someone would like to donate to Gideon Cause. That's there also. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Well, good morning to you, and to you online. We're glad to have you along this morning. Let me apologize first to all of you that are here physically. You get here and we shove a whole bunch of papers in your face. But every 3 years, the conference, the denomination, asks us to do this survey, this evaluation for ministry effectiveness. Jennifer will collect all of these from you as you leave today, if she hasn't already. And if you don't want to fill one out, you don't have to. But we do invite you to fill one out because it gives a little bit of a barometer, a little bit of a gauge as to what we need to improve on. And so if you would fill that out, turn them into Jennifer today. We would greatly appreciate that. She will send them all to the conference. They will tabulate them. They will send back a very brief report to myself, which I will share with the board. And we will take that from there to see what is good and what is not so good, what we need to change and improve upon. So thank you for filling those out. I was reading this last week. I read a lot. I just like to keep current on what's going on. And I was reading this last week, several articles. And one article, this might have been 2 weeks ago, that caught my attention had this title. It said, over one-third of senior pastors believe good people can earn their way to heaven. That was the title of the article. That got my attention because that's not what the Bible says. Christian, you've got that quote for me, will you bring that up? And so I read the article, and here's what it said. At least a third of senior pastors in the United States believe one can earn a place in heaven by simply being a good person, according to a nationwide survey. One third, I'm going to stay on that quote for a minute, but I'm going to interject here. A third of the pastors surveyed, a third of them suggest and believe and probably teach you can gain a place in heaven by being good. That's not what the Bible says. I just want you to know that, okay? That's not what the Bible says. You don't gain a place in heaven by being good. We're not good. We are sinners who need a Savior. That's why Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Casey reminded us of that with scriptures, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23 last week. And so as the article continues, I just want you to know, friends, in case you're still wondering about that, whether you're listening online or whether you're here with us this morning, we do not gain a place in glory with Jesus because we have been good. But for the cross at Calvary and the shed blood of Jesus and our faith in him, our embracing him, that's how. Not by being good. Okay, a third of senior pastors will believe and teach you can get there by just being good. That's contrary to the Word of God. The article goes on. The findings were among several surprising responses as part of a survey conducted earlier this year by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. If you do not know, George Barna leads that Cultural Research Center. Everybody, I think, has heard the name George Barna. The American Worldview, it goes on, Inventory 2022 examined more than 36 beliefs held by pastors. Researchers found that in addition to believing that people can merit salvation based solely on their good works, one-third or more senior pastors surveyed also believed that the Holy Spirit is not a person, but a symbol of God's power. Others in the survey results said the moral truth is subjective. I'd like to speak to every one of these, but I'm not going to take the time today. I hope you can kind of sort through them. Others said that moral truth is subjective. This is pastors. This is church leadership. Others said that sexual relations between two unmarried people who love each other is morally acceptable, and biblical teaching on abortion is ambiguous. At least a third of those surveyed also said that they believe socialism is preferable to capitalism. End quote. That's tragic. Are you with me this morning, friends? This is senior pastors. Well, as I said, I'd like to speak to every one of them and give us truths from them, and maybe next week, not today, because I've got a different point I want to convey today. Some of you were here a couple of months ago when I shared from a different article, from a different statistic, from a different set of surveys that found 37% of American pastors have a biblical worldview, okay? We heard that earlier this summer. That survey in June said 37% of American Christian pastors have a biblical worldview. That means 63% do not. 63% do not have a biblical worldview. In other words, they do not gauge life in what they see, how they process through the lens of the Bible. They gauge it and process it through the lens of the world. So we saw that statistic. Only 37% of senior pastors have a biblical worldview. Now we see this new survey of that 63% that's left over. A third of all say you can get to heaven by just good works. One other portion that I mentioned from the survey this summer and the results of that 37% of pastors, senior pastors, have a biblical worldview. Barna analyzed that, put it in together with this Cultural Research Center findings, and he said this, and I quote, "A loss of biblical belief is prevalent among pastors in every denominational grouping." a loss of biblical belief is prevalent among pastors in every denominational grouping, end quote. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? If the pastors, if we pastors in America do not subscribe to the Word of God, then what are we going to teach? We will end up just like the Old Testament, and they did what was right in their own eyes, and that's exactly what's happening. Now, what's the point in all of this? I'd love to speak to how and why that, maybe next week. I don't have time today. What's the point? You've seen the title, perhaps, Birth Pains. Jesus said there would be birth pains at the end. Let me read to you from Matthew 24. I've used this scripture before, and you know what's in Matthew 24, but there's a little bit there that I want to make enlighten today and bring into with a couple of other scriptures to make my point. Birth pains. Remember what Jesus said. I'm reading from Matthew 24, the NIV this morning. Here's what Jesus said. This was just days before he was going to the cross. He left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. I don't know why, if they thought they were majestic or they were awesome or whatever, but the disciples brought his attention to the buildings. They had just left the temple. And Jesus then said to them, "Do you see all these things? Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left upon another. Everyone will be thrown down." He was talking about the temple. As Jesus was sitting, he continues on, Matthew 24, on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, "Tell us, when will this happen? You just said there's not going to be one stone left upon another in this majestic, this awesome building. You just said there's not going to be one stone. Tell us when that's going to happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age?" They said. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you." Not bad advice, considering what we're seeing in surveys. Watch out that nobody deceives you. And as Dan just highlighted the Word of God, friends, I'm telling you, don't take my word for it. Take the word for it. If you're not in the Word of God, it's time to get into the Word of God. Jesus said with clarity, as did others in the Scriptures, there will come a time that we veer away and venture away from the Word of God. Now, back to what he was saying. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am Messiah and will deceive many." That's been happening for 2,000 years. Obviously, it's still happening. He also said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen." That's been happening since Jesus was here, but it's happening with more frequency. But the end is still to come. Then he said, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and these are the beginnings of birth pains." All of those are indicators that the time of his return is close. Then he said this, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me." We have arrived at a time in America where many Christians are hated for what they stand for. We've arrived. "And you will be hated by all nations because of me," Jesus said. And then he said this, back to my point, to what I said earlier and what I will say in a few minutes. "At that time, many will turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. I started with that story from Christian Pulse magazine or wherever it came from that said over one-third of senior pastors believe good people can earn their way to heaven. I started with that because of what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 11. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many. Friends, if we are subscribing to the notion that if I'm a good person, at least I'm better than my neighbor, I'm going to gain my place in heaven, I'm subscribing to false doctrines. Amen? Let me take a step back here. Every mother, and anyone else that has ever been in a delivery room at the hospital knows about birth pains. Can I get a witness? I've been there too. I had to plug my ears. I even asked her, could you tone it down just a little bit? She didn't appreciate it at all. I said, they can hear you out front. Birth pains. There's that first one. And all of a sudden, mom-to-be is aware something is about to happen. Then there's another one, and another, and they begin to get closer and closer, and they get to be more intense, and they get closer and more intense. This is the terminology that Jesus uses describing his return. Birth pains. They will come faster. They will be more intense. They are an indicator that something is about to happen, just like the birth of a new child. And when I look around and when I read and when I listen, events and happenings and unbelievable phenomena are all happening, and they're getting closer and they're getting closer and they're getting more evident and more visible, like something is about to happen. And that's what Jesus said would happen just before the end. Eight days ago, I was in a beautiful setting, a haymow, to marry your daughter and a young fellow from the community, and I was in this haymow talking with the DJ. He and I were the only ones in this old dairy barn haymow. He was setting up, and I was up there visiting with him about getting ready for the wedding. And this DJ and I were talking about things and talking about Christians and talking about Christianity. And he said to me, he said this, and I quote, "Our pastor doesn't talk much about current events. I wish that he would talk some about what is happening." End quote. Which got me to thinking we as believers should be aware of the birth pains. And so why do I start with this headline today when I say over one-third of American pastors believe that all you need to do is be good to get to heaven? Jesus said many false prophets will appear and they will deceive many. That's happening in America. It's more than happening in America. It's happening around the globe. It's happening in Western Europe. It's happening in America. It's happening in Canada. It's happening. Many false prophets will appear, and they will deceive many, Jesus said. At that time, he said, when the birth pains are getting more intense, and they're getting a little closer, at that time, Jesus said, many will turn from the faith. They will betray and hate each other. Many will abandon the faith, Jesus said. I'm going to give you a couple more statistics about that in just a minute to prove what's happening, to show you what's happening. But what Jesus said, what Paul said, not once but twice, is happening. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. I'm going to press on because time is pressing on. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the Apostle Paul is talking about the end, talking about the second return of Christ, when he says in his rationale, in his argument, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. He's talking about the second coming. And then he said, for that day will not come unless the rebellion. I'm reading from the NIV. I like that word. I do like the New King James Version, falling away. But I like the word from the NIV because he said, the time that Christ comes back, the second turn of Christ will not happen until the rebellion occurs. People will rebel against the faith. They'll say, I don't need that no more. The rebellion. Paul said, his return will not happen until the rebellion happens. Or the falling away, New King James Version. Jesus said there would be a time near the end that people, false prophets, will appear. Those false prophets will tell false tales and they will deceive people. And many, he said, will turn away from the faith. Partly because of false prophets. Partly because of false teachings. Then Paul tells the church, the return of the Lord Jesus will not happen until this rebellion happens. And when I give you some statistics in just another couple minutes, you will see that the rebellion in this nation is happening. The rebellion against Almighty God and His Word. It didn't just start, but it's happening. Then Paul says to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith. And they'll follow deceiving spirits. And look at the terminology he uses next. They will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You say, Jim, I don't like that thought. I don't like the direction you're headed here when you start with senior pastors are telling people good people can get to heaven. Paul is saying there's going to come a time when the birth pains are happening and the evidences are more clear that people will abandon their faith, and he's saying the same thing that Jesus did and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You see, friends, if we're not proclaiming the truth of God from the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, we aren't in the will of God. We're probably in this category, following deceiving spirits, teaching by demons. You say, Jim, that's a little harsh. That's what Jesus and that's what Paul said. Either we're following the Word of God or we're following doctrine of demons. And the time will come, and has come, in America that we have arrived at this place where people are moving away from their faith because some cases they're listening to doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. Then he said this, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. End quote from the Apostle Paul. Birth pains. Two more quotes. I think I have this one, Kristen. I think you've got this one for me. Yes, this quote, I read this last week, barring any limiting events such as war, economic depression, if the pace at which Christians abandon their faith before the age of 30 were to accelerate beyond its current pace, America could no longer be a majority Christian nation by as early as 2045. The quote continues, and Christians wouldn't just lose their majority status in America in this scenario. They would also be outnumbered by the religiously unaffiliated, also known as nones. I've used that terminology before, N-O-N-E-S. They have no religious affiliation. That's the fastest growing category in America right now. And this survey says Christians would not just lose their majority status in America, they would also be outnumbered by the religiously unaffiliated, also known as nones, according to the findings of a new analysis by the Pew Research Center. End quote. What is that saying? The number of Americans who claim to be Christians is somewhere between 65 and 68%. Who claim to be Christians. This article suggests at the pace at which people are abandoning their faith is at a rate that in 20 short years, the number of alleged Christians who claim to be Christian will be a lower number than those who claim I have no religious affiliation. That's what it's saying. Are you still hearing me this morning? I could say a lot more, I won't today because time won't allow it, about the alleged Christian with what the statistics say. I will say one little thing in a moment about the alleged Christians versus those that are passionately following Jesus. That's a very different number. And lastly, this quote from George Barna this week. In the 30 years or so that I've been measuring, what we have discovered is that Americans with a biblical worldview has been cut in half in 30 years. That's what George Barna says, who's been doing these kind of things for 30 years. It is on the decline, and what we are finding is that right now that decline is faster than it has ever been before, says Barna. The decline of Christianity. He goes on to say, the biblical worldview is important because it's a way of experiencing, interpreting, and responding to reality that's consistent with biblical perspective. He says, it's interesting that we have a nation where almost 7 out of 10 adults, I said 67%, claim to be Christians. He said, it's interesting that we have a nation where almost 7 out of 10 of adults call themselves Christian, but only 6 in 100 try to think like Jesus so they can live like Jesus and follow Jesus. There's a bit of a difference in that number, 67 versus 6, says Barna. Birth pains. Jesus said the end will be like birth pains. Jesus said that towards the end, people will turn away from their faith. He said towards the end, there will be false teachings. Paul said that before the return of the Lord happens, there will be a great rebellion. Rebellion against the teachings of God. Rebellion against the standards of God. It's happening with an accelerated pace, dear friends. Let me wrap it all up here and try to make a point out of all this information I've laid before you. I mentioned to you this summer, and I mentioned to it again this morning already, that according to that survey that was just done in June, 37% of senior pastors have a biblical worldview. That means 63 do not. Does anybody remember when I shared that statistic earlier this summer, what the percentage rate for youth pastors that have a biblical worldview? Does anybody remember that? What was it, Craig?
16%.
Even less. Under 15% of those youth pastors surveyed in America today, this summer, under 15% have a biblical worldview. That means over 85% of youth pastors don't have a biblical worldview. So what they're telling our youth is something contrary to the Bible. Yes, the Bible may be interspersed some here and there, but 85% of youth pastors, actually it's a little more than 85%, do not have a biblical worldview. The great rebellion, the falling away, false teachers, the birth pains are happening with more frequency than ever. Then you add in this statistic that I shared this morning, about a third of pastors that surveyed in this survey are now telling people your good works, your good deeds will get you to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Casey had a great word last week from James that said, evidences of our faith should accompany our faith. Those of you that were here heard that. It's a great word from James. Evidences of our faith should accompany our faith. But we don't work our way to heaven. We don't get there because we're a good person. And yet, a third of the pastors in America are saying that's how you get there. You see the birth pains? Are you seeing the birth pains, friends? The evidences are more evident than ever. So what's my point? Let me close it with this. Birth pains are close. And anybody that has been in the birthing room knows when they get really close and they get really intense, the main event is about to happen. The birth pains are close. And I simply want to ask you, if you're listening online today, if you're sitting here in the sanctuary, are you ready for eternity if it happens today? I'm not asking you, do you know about God or do you believe in God in your head? Have you been born of God? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Are you walking with Jesus? He is the one that said, He's the only way to God the Father, when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by Me. Jesus said that. I was talking to somebody earlier before we started today. Death is happening. It seems like, of course, I'm a little older, and others are getting older, but it seems like death is happening at a rate that is just overwhelming in our community. Have you noticed? Since January 1 till currently, I am one pastor and I have done 60 funerals. January 1 last year till today, 60. I'm just one guy. Which brings me to the point and the question, are you ready for eternity? Because if you have not been born of God, if you have not repented of your sin, claimed Christ as Lord, and are walking with Jesus, as Casey said last week, and there's evidences of it, I'm walking with Jesus, you're not ready for eternity. Point two. In spite of false teachings that seem to abound in this great nation and around the world, now is not the time to abandon your faith in the living God or the Son of God. Many will, Jesus said. There's this great rebellion going to happen, Paul said, before the trumpet of God sounds and He comes back. There's going to be this great rebellion. And I'm just here to tell you, Now is not the time to abandon your faith. Jesus said, many will. I don't know why. Maybe they're angry. I've talked to plenty of people who said, well, God didn't come through for me. He didn't answer this prayer. And if he didn't take care of my loved one and they just went ahead and died, then I ain't going to have nothing to do with them. That's abandoning the faith. And that's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. I don't know why people will abandon the faith, but Jesus said it's going to happen. Some of it will be because of false teachings. Well, I like that teaching a whole lot better than yours, Jim, so I'm going to go that way. Jesus said that's going to happen. Now is not the time to abandon your faith. The birth pains are getting close. The end is near. And last point. People of God, if we know the end is near, I mean, it could be a while. I mean, God, 1,000 years and a day are the same to God. He's outside of time. But when we see what Jesus said, and we see what Paul said, and we see what John said, and we see what Peter said, we see what the Bible said, it looks like the birth pains are really, really close. And when the birth pains get really, really close, and they get really, really intense, something is about to happen. And so if we're understanding that something is about to happen, my last question, my last point is, are we collectively people of God doing anything about that? Are we inviting anybody to church? Are we telling anybody the good news of Jesus? Are we offering prayer to people that hurt? Are we doing anything knowing that the birth pains are close? I could go on and on, but time is up. I think I'll go into birth pains part two next week. I'm not sure because I'm not. There's much more that could be said. Jane, Jess, let's get ready to sing. I was just reading another article the other day, and apparently in America we have this new fascination now for the devil and demons. There's TV shows glorifying both. Have you noticed that? I didn't know that until I read that because I don't watch TV. But apparently there's TV shows and such glorifying the devil and demons. These are just signs. These are just signs. I love reading Michael Yosef, pastor in Atlanta, godly man, great man of God, come from Egypt many years ago, and he's talking too about these signs and how we're just kind of falling in line to follow the Antichrist. We're just like a bunch of sheep. And so the signs, the birth pains, are evident. Are you ready for eternity? Don't abandon your faith. Cling to Jesus, and let us tell others of the importance of being ready for eternity. That's good news, isn't it? There's going to come a day that we will fly away to glory if we have put our faith in Christ, if we have surrendered to Jesus, not if we're a pretty good person or better than neighbor, if we have been born again, then we will fly away to glory. If you haven't been born again, friends, that song is not a reality. And so to close, I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want us to ponder for a moment, knowing the birth pains are getting close. Are you ready for eternity? Do you know that you know? You have repented of sin. You have invited Christ into your life. You're walking with Jesus. Because if you're not, you're not ready for eternity. It's not I'm a good person. It's not a religion. It's, have I been born of God? Have I put my faith in Christ? And so if you're here this morning and you're not sure, but you want to be sure, I want to invite you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, slip your hand up and then down. You want to put your faith in Christ. You know you need to. You know He's the way. Let me just pray for us, and if that's you this morning, by faith, the Bible says, by faith, We have been saved through the grace of God. So let's just trust in the Lord, if that's you this morning. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. We acknowledge our sin. We confess that to you and repent of it. Please forgive us, O Lord. We acknowledge a need for a Savior and recognize that Jesus is the Savior. Come into our hearts, come into our lives, Lord Jesus. Take over. Fill us with your Spirit. Guide us in life. We want to serve you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we have looked at your word again this morning, the evidences around us are evident. It seems like what Jesus spoke about and Paul and Peter and the rest wrote about, it seems these evidences are very clear. It seems like, Father, the birth pains that Jesus referred to are intense and close. Help us to be ready. Help us to never abandon the faith, like Jesus said, some will. Help us as a congregation to be loving our neighbors to the point of inviting them to church, handing them a tract, offering prayer, telling them our faith journey about Jesus, something to plant some seeds to neighbors that may not be ready. Use us in this congregation and churches everywhere, Father, to be your hands and feet, to be your voice in a world that is dying, in a world that is on the broad road that leads to destruction. Use your people, O God, to sound the alarm. The birth pains are close. Go with us this day. Bless the Gideon ministry. Bless each one here. Some will go to class. Some will go to other places. Some will travel. Watch over each one. But Father, help us to be keenly aware. I must be born again or I will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Help us to be keenly aware that there is a rebellion happening all around us and not be part of that. And help us to be keenly aware you have commissioned us to tell others the good news of Jesus. Go with us and help us do that this week, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.